This is a download from the Post-Keynesian Economics Study Group, PKSG. For more information and terms of use, please visit www.postkeynesian.net.
Thank you all for letting me speak to you today, Post-Keynesian. A little bit of context. I'm far used to playing with mainstream economists, so this has been entirely developed from criticisms of mainstream theories of trust, and now it's coming into the idea of it seems to be a lot of parallels with post-Keynesian thinking. So the idea being, I'm going to basically present a theory of trust and a way of understanding basically the economy in the world and see how much you guys are going to lynch me for it. And it's a horrible, flippant way of doing it, but I'm trying to hedge my bets by saying I'm coming from a criticism of mainstream. So the first point, and I actually owe a huge debt to Engelbert for this, because he presented at the Leeds post-Keynesian workshop for the undergraduates. We own a number of master's students. So I think Mark actually said the thing about how economics is telling people how they should behave. Uncertainty is basically saying, give me dragons, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm going to try and apply economic reasoning to certain things. When we start dealing with trust and confidence, this is actually a rejection of attempting to try and apply economic reasoning. This is the idea of saying, this is where I'm going to behave in a non-economic manner. Right, why have I drawn up two things? This is dualism. I'm basically taking a structure-agency approach. So you can see the world combined in terms of everything you see, agency, the ability to act, make decisions, think, structure, the institutions, the rules that kind of limit and enable behavior. Your belief about the future and your belief about agency and your belief about structure are fundamentally different. Can be, I am going to argue. Okay, fundamentally different creatures, agency and structure. Agency relates to the ability of other people. And you talk to the evolutionary biologists, the anthropologists, they reckon the most complex thing you're ever going to encounter is somebody else, another human. It seems to be a predominant theory amongst them is what drove our own evolution of big brain was other big brains. So other people are a nightmare when it comes to trying to predict behavior. So the most uncertain thing you're going to get is somebody else. Okay, confidence. No, I've got to forget that. Skipping ahead. Structures, the rules. They're so much easier to comprehend. They tend to be fixed for medium, short-term periods of time. That's the concept. Now, I'd like to say introduce a concept of, instead of just saying trust, I'd like to actually introduce this distinction. Trust is a belief about agency. Confidence is a belief about structure. Now, these are both attempts to deal with uncertainty. But the difference between uncertainty and agency and uncertainty and structure is fundamentally different. No. You're completely out of order. So that's what I've just said there, okay? Parallel conception. We have trust and competence. Trust in the belief in agency, a trust about consistent behaviors in the future, about other people. I'm no longer trying to deal with them, I'm just making an awfully clumsy assumption, I'm not going to deal with it. Competence, structure ideas. I'm going to believe that these rules are consistent, they're effective, what I understand of them is going to maintain them. That distinction, I'm going to pile another distinction on top of this. Because I've got here is belief about intentions and belief about capabilities. One of the driving distinctions between why I think uncertainty between agency and uncertainty about structure is because agency implies intention, which is unaccessible. Or inaccessible to other people. You never really know why I'm here talking to you, what I'm going to get out of it. I guess
don't
actually...
Don't underestimate the
present. One of my problems, I tend to think, oh, I should be doing this. Things in the future tend to dominate far too much. No, okay. I'm actually just going to, because I'm going to end up repeating myself over and over again, it's going to rely on that distinction, okay, that you see the world through an agency structure framework, and you have beliefs, consistent beliefs about the future. It's not rational, it's not calculative, it's by far saying this is the best thing you're doing, it's more the fact of this is the ability to trust and have confidence in something is actually defining the limits of when you're going to start actually analysing behaviour in any sort of economic criteria. Now, the reason why I want to go into this kind of trust-confidence distinction is because it's not enough just to say, I'm not going to think about it, I'm not going to deal with it, because I'm saying this is an uncertainty coping mechanism. I'm not coping with uncertainty by just saying, I don't know, I'm going to ignore it. By saying there's actually a structure to this. People are aware that there's differences and different types of different ways of understanding changes in the future. So the difference between the two systems, we have an agency-based trust system and you have a structure-based confidence system. Agency-based trust systems. Okay, the nature of agency, comes down to almost we can understand this in terms of volatility. People in small scale, shall we say, the behaviour can be fairly erratic within fairly well-defined boundaries. Any individual can behave in a kind of fairly erratic manner, but you kind of over your experience of your lifetime, you kind of learn to put boundaries on this. Structures, so legal systems, social norms, so on and so forth, are more prone to catastrophic collapse. They're incredibly stable until they're challenged and they can fail. I mean, when they fail, they can completely fail. Now, this has consequences for your behavior. If you are in a very heavily confidence or a structure-based system, while the system is working, confidence is incredibly stable, your expectations generally seem to be okay, you don't have to worry about it. However, if that system fails, you've got nothing else to rely on. You have a complete collapse in confidence, nowhere to go with this. So it leads to complete panic because you're suddenly becoming increasingly reliant and increasing strength of confidence, and it works. It fails, you suddenly have to have it collapse back to a trust-based system. You come back to feeling people. People are kind of the basis of everything. I end up talking a bit about scapegoats. So with the banking collapse going on, you get this thing tied up, okay? Do I have this? Banking collapse. Banks failed. At that point, I would argue that actually the banking system was a heavily structured system because we believed that the regulators were there, the government was standing behind it. I no longer cared about the individuals involved with the banking system. We're told the banking system is failing, so suddenly I realise that the government is not doing what I thought it was doing, the regulators are not doing what I think it does. A complete panic. I have no longer any kind of what I thought was safe to ignore and assume like that, I've suddenly been aware that actually there's uncertainty here. Now, I'm going to jump on here, something else. The link between trust and money. Why is money a means of dealing with uncertainty? Part of it, I would like to say, is third point here. It allows us to avoid an agency-based trust relationship and use a structure-based confidence relationship. Now, this is a theory of money where the role of the state is quite strong in money. This isn't kind of entirely state money. I'm not saying tax is the whole reason money has value. I'm saying the state is heavily involved with money. Why? Okay, money is a social construction. The reason why money can act as a way of uncertainty coping mechanism is because of two things: general acceptability and the function of means of payment. Means of payment, distinct from medium of exchange, means of payment ending the debt relationship. Now, unlike what a lot of, particularly the mainstream thinking of, is in terms of if ending the debt relationship means that money is not a debt to anybody. Now, sociological Luhmann, particularly the idea of The debt doesn't just disappear, the debt actually transfers to society as a whole. What that means is society as a whole, it's a fundamentally more structured, less uncertain environment than dealing on an individual-to-individual basis. So what we can have happen is, instead of just trading between me and you and me worrying about having debt obligations between me and another individual, by having money that's a means of payment, i.e. supported by the state to an extent, I no longer have to worry about you as a person. I'm dealing with a commodity in which society owes me. I have a debt. It's a debt from society. Now, how's that trust-confidence relationship going? If I'm worrying about individual trading between me and you, that's a highly agency-based, highly trust-based system. That's costly. That's quite problematic all the time. The state does a great favor by basically providing backing, by almost guaranteeing this general acceptability. It supports general acceptability and therefore supports a change in the relationship from individual to the individual in society. This isn't an evolutionary approach to saying, like money. I'm not saying we started off in economic barter and then it evolved into state money. I'm saying it's the alternative system. Before I can ramble completely off topic, I'm actually going to stop there.